calling us for respect for the interdependent worth and dignity of all people. And our second principle, calling for justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, made gender equality a central issue for Unitarian Universalists. I'm indebted to those who have responded to my cry for help. I put out an email because I realized how unprepared I was for a sermon on Women's Day. And I've done my best to incorporate their suggestions into this service. Note to myself for next year, ask women in the congregation to push me to start this sermon topic earlier and to incorporate more women's voices into the sermon. Some things came together for me as I assembled this service. First, I knew we were starting a new month, and the theme we would be exploring throughout the month is balance. As always, I searched the internet for a picture that could be the theme picture for the month, and I settled on this one. There we go. This picture had the nice advantage of featuring a woman, appropriate for the opening sermon of the month. But it wasn't ideal to me for another reason. See, balance in life is often portrayed in this manner, a kind of static position that we struggle to maintain, to keep everything precariously in control and in balance. But I don't think we experience balance in our lives in this way. And I don't think individuals and communities make progress in this way. What I was really searching for was an image of someone being knocked off balance and struggling to get back on the path, like someone being blown about by a powerful windstorm. And I found a few of those, but nothing worked well. But I think such an image would be a better metaphor for the role of balance in our lives. We do our best to stay on the path, but we're continually being knocked off that path, knocked off balance. We may get back to where we were, or we may be driven to find a new direction, maybe through serendipity. The Canadian Union Women's Association put out an extensive package of material on Women's Day, and they selected for their theme, Journey. And that fit well with my image of being on a journey or on a path and getting continually knocked off balance. We're all on a journey of discovery, hence our opening hymn, Sing Out Praises for the Journey. From that hymn, we stand now upon the threshold facing futures yet unknown. We are part of the endless human quest referred to in that hymn. It is endless. We don't know where it's leading, but hopefully we know the direction. So my opening metaphor is of the struggle to regain balance despite the distractions when we move forward on what is an exciting journey. By coincidence, the theme adopted by the organization on the web called InternationalWomen'sDay.com is hashtag balance or better, balance for better. I like the metaphor. It conveys the goal of gender balance, recognizing that male and female perspectives don't need to be homogenized, they need to be balanced. Where does one begin to speak about International Women's Day? Well, the voice of the minister, the male minister should at very least be balanced by the voices of some of the women in the congregation. But before that, one other male voice. I heard from Colin, who's with us here this morning. And he wrote to hold up Valerie Chapman, who many of us here remember very fondly, his wife who died last year. For those who never knew Valerie, you can only imagine. And I knew Valerie, but only somewhat. Only superficially. And I know there's much more to Valerie than I experienced. Colm wrote, "Valerie was never a woman's lib type of campaigner. She just did things that in previous generations weren't generally open to women, like starting and running a business in the U.S., like winning awards for several fields, including the business field, like helping to found and manage a hospice organization and contributing significantly to our Unitarian Universalist United Nations office in New York. Another person who responded to my call for help is Barbara Harsanyi. She has a poem that she'd like to share, followed by what she promised would be a short story. Yes. I'm going to bring you the microphone.
I don't really need
it. You do.
I'll
hold it.
First thing I would like to share is a poem by Dorothy Livesey, who was a Canadian poet and social worker.
And she is one. And she's a Ontarian.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Look, that's wonderful. She is one filial generation older than me, and I'm pretty old, 85 going on 86.
That's not old.
Well, it depends how you look. All right. So the title of the poem is The Woman I Am, and it was first published in the volume The Unquiet Bed in 1967. The woman I am is not what you see. I'm not just bones and crockery. The woman I am, new love and hate, hating the chains that parents made, longing that love might set men free, yet hold them fast in loyalty. The woman I am is not what you see. Move over, love, make room for me.
Did you want to talk about your three?
Oh, the yes.
No, told me this would be brief.
Three women. I myself, I'm international. I was born in Hungary, left when I was 11, grew up in Germany, went to university and became a dentist in South America, came to the United States, got a graduate degree, went into teaching a specialty, oral pathology, and then I was called to Dalhousie University here, and this is my home now. So now I'm Canadian. That's enough of me. The second one is a friend of mine, Eva. Eva was born in Hungary, but grew up there. Her parents were workers, but because they owned an other property in addition to where they lived, the communist government didn't consider her a good proletariat member. And when she, her choice to go to university, she wanted to become a dentist. They wouldn't let her. But her second choice was music, and they accepted that. So I still remember she played a wonderful version of her own of Blue Moon. Everybody knows that. Well, I met her in Colombia, South America, and I just had graduated and had to set up my first dental office. And of course, there was very little money. And Eva said, don't you ever mind. I'll help you put it, install it. Then I unpacked the thing and saw all the electrical wires and the other things for the plumbing. I broke out in cold sweat because I didn't have the faintest idea of what went where. Eva, I don't know where she got the training. That was something innate in her. She put it all together. I just want that. She just said, bring me that, bring me that. And it worked. We turned it on. The drill worked. The cuspidor worked. There was water. And we didn't make a fire, nor did the water run down to the floor beneath us. It was a success. And then I was in the way of a divorce that time anyway. I had my daughter and I lived alone. And in Colombia, maids are very cheap. And I had a little girl who was an Aboriginal Colombian Indian woman of the high plains. And the word for her was Chipchak. And we called her, she called herself Anita. Well, Anita never had the chance of going to school. So she didn't know how to read or write. But she had an absolutely wonderful memory. When the phone rang, she answered, and she would remember every patient that called, would be able to tell me their name, and would be able to tell me when they wanted to come and what their problem was. I was working half-time in my private dental office set up by my friend Eva, myself, as a helper. So Anita was both my receptionist and was also a mother substitute for my little daughter, and she was wonderful. And she really was my friend. And in addition to having this wonderful memory, she had something that we call ESP. I can't explain it in other ways. This was a rented apartment on the second floor of a house of some friends. And whenever I came home, I found her and my little daughter at the door, and the door was open. And there stood the two of them smiling, giving me their welcome. So I asked my daughter, who was a little girl at the time, tell me, are the two of you in the window looking out for me? And she says, no, mommy. We were in the back of the house, in the apartment, in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, Anita smiles and tells me, La Señora is coming. Let's go down. I still cannot explain it, how that happens. There was maybe an emotional connection between us because I liked her very much. But the fact is, she knew when I was coming without me ringing the bell or then seeing me actually approach. And she was down there opening the door for me. Really like coming home to a friend.
Thank you, Marga. Thank you very much, Barbara. That was, while I was listening to you, I'm thinking a neat talk with Marie Claude. How we relate these stories to our children and your experience from Hungary to Colombia. Just out of university, setting up a dental office, just amazing. We see people only as they are in the moment, and we have no...
I'm just an old woman who relies on... Thank God she has friends to bring her here.
I agree. Another member of the congregation wrote to me with some personal observations and reflections. Your email has gotten me to think, and I believe I may be becoming invisible to myself as a woman in a society still unbalanced with inequalities and injustices towards women. She went on to say, for some reason I don't understand, it doesn't feel as important to me as, say, issues of climate change. But contrast this with some of the things that Debbie Eisen, the Indigenous leader, has been talking about in our reflection program. For example, the powerful role that women play in First Nations communities. That level of respect is something almost entirely foreign to me. It makes me wonder how much defeat and negativity I've experienced is because I'm a woman, and if I've learned to internalize that and no longer question that. I feel frustrated, disappointed on some crucial fronts in life, like work, and I wonder how much of this is related to being a woman. So maybe the kernel of truth here is for me is making being a woman a more important focus. And so I get that email. Despite all the progress towards gender balance that we see in our society and in our country today, men and women still live isolated in many ways. And because of that isolation, we can misjudge one another. I was going to include something in the sermon and I left it out because it wouldn't be time, but I just want to mention it now. I took a little clip from the Academy Awards, and that one of the films that won an Academy Award was called Period, End of Sentence. And it celebrated work being done in India to prepare menstrual pads for women, for girls, so they would be able to continue their work, continue in school, and so on. And the little clip was of the people accepting the award, and here they are, you know, biggest night in the United States entertainment industry, celebrating a film about menstruation. And when I say men and women live in different worlds, and maybe it's a generational thing, but boy, we didn't talk about this when I was a while. I'll tell you a little story that I didn't plan to tell you until just this moment. But maybe I shouldn't tell you, but I will anyway. I remember being at home. I knew nothing about menstruation. I was like 10 years old or something. I don't know, it was about 10. I was building a kite, and a traditional kite, kind of diamond shaped, and it has to have a long tail to stabilize it, right? And I was trying to find things. I tied them together one to the other. I had a string on the back of this kite. The best kite, it flew perfectly. My mother went out the door and saw this swing by. Needless to say, it came down in a hurry. I mean, I don't think I really understood why. So, talking about this isolation, this difference of perspective between men and women, and men who are generally still in our society in power, sort of saying, oh, we want to open the doors and we want to be more inclusive. And our Prime Minister has been a wonderful model of that in principle. But it's not as easy as it seems, right? So I couldn't resist mentioning the current controversy between Justin Trudeau and Judy Wilson-Raybould.
Jody
Wilson-Raybould. The Canadian Minister of Justice and Attorney General, Jody Wilson-Raybould, was a keynote speaker at the Harvard Women's Law Association International Women's Day celebration a year ago. And with the wonderful technology we have, there was a video clip of her speaking a year ago on International Women's Day. So I just wanted to play a little short clip from that address.
As was mentioned, my name is Jody Wilson-Raybould. My traditional name is Bublas, and I come from, and the pronunciation was amazing, I come from the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Lakota people of Northern Vancouver Island, which is just off the west coast of British Columbia, Canada. I'm part of the Kwakwaka'wakw, the Kwakwala-speaking people. We are a matrilineal society. Matrilineal society means that descent is and property is inherited through the female line. We have hereditary chiefs, always men, who are groomed from the time they are born for leadership. But they are groomed by women. My grandmother's name was Pukledi, the highest ranking name, male or female, in our clan. Her name means a good host, and my name, Pukles, means a woman born to noble people.
My grandmother ensured that my sister and I knew our culture, our values, the laws of our big house, and how to conduct oneself as a leader. We are a potlatching people. In our system, I am Haligirasti, a role that's always held by women. One of my jobs, is to lead the Hamatsa, the chief, into the big house. The Haligirasti can be translated as one who corrects the chief's path. We show them the way, and in our potlatch ceremony, the power of the Hamatsa is symbolically tamed, and he becomes ready for chief.
I'm really a little ironic. So why did I show you that? First, it's a clear description of another culture, where the role of men and women is in better balance. Second, I think Justin Trudeau, and to some extent the entire nation of Canada, has been thrown off balance. Go back to my image of being on a path and getting knocked off balance by the events centered around Jody Wilson-Raybould and Justin Trudeau and the SNC-Lavalin case. This may be one of those moments when our country gets onto a different path. I'm not particularly qualified to speak on this, but this may be one of those cases where the isolation that I referred to between men and women leads to misjudgments of one another, underestimation of one another in this case. So as I conclude this sermon, I want to reiterate that we are living in amazing times of change. Change for the better, I believe, involving a new balance between men and women. We've come a long way, and we have a long way to go. The path ahead is not clear, but the direction is towards a better gender balance, no doubt. May it be so.